Grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, that was read just a moment ago, I will focus this morning on these words of the text. Therefore, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. In the name of Jesus, amen. What's it like in the kingdom of God? Well, apparently, there's plenty to eat. There always has been. It's the world out there that thinks that there just isn't enough. And by the world here, I mean the ignorance and the contempt and the blasphemy and the hatred of all the words and works of our God. In every respect, the world is a desert place, where God and his word are scarce, if at all. And therefore, without the words and promises of God, it looks like, to the eyes of sinners and to their minds, that this world's in a lot of trouble. We've got overpopulation. We've got a problem feeding all of these people. I mean, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this great problem? Why, the earth just cannot sustain this. As well as the earth cannot sustain so much other. In the world where there is a void of the word and promises of God, our faith in Christ and the word of God will constantly be under assault. The Christian will stand up and confess, "The Lord, He is our God." Grumble not, as Israel did against God, because God brought them out into this wilderness to die of hunger when we could have had. Apart from God and His Word, that becomes the way of life in the world. God and our faith in His word and promises are constantly under that assault. It isn't God and His word that we need. We need something to eat. And the haves of this world throw God's word out the window, and they trample it underfoot every chance they get. What need is there for a God and His word when one has plenty, or at least enough? Plenty of job, plenty of home, plenty of food, plenty of drink. And the have-nots, well, they're ready to sell their souls to the devil in order to get ahead and gain the most stuff they can so that by it, it'll lift them up out of poverty. How can they believe in a God and His word when what they really need is a job and a home and food and drink and wealth, security and stuff like everybody else? Neither is correct. The creation works as it does because God said it so. In the beginning, when God made it, God said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So there will always be food and drink and stuff. It's God's word and promise. But it's far worse when God and His Word are thrown out. Because then thrown out right along with it is Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, a reconciled God, faith, the Holy Spirit, justification, victory over death in the grave, the resurrection of the body, eternal life, the kingdom of God, heaven, everything Jesus came in the flesh to bleed and die for you, so that you might be His own and live under Him and His kingdom and serve Him in righteousness and blessedness for all eternity. His kingdom, God's kingdom, where Jesus said His people will live before the throne of God. It is His footstool, God says. Significant because all things are under our God, from heaven above at His throne to the earth as His footstool, where He provides everything for His people, not only to support just their bodies and lives, but to support them right through death to life itself. Jesus said His people will live before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits upon His throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, Jesus said. They won't thirst anymore, Jesus said. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It is the word and promise of a God whose gracious rule, whose loving rule, whose forgiveness and plenteousness in mercy never stop being poured out to satisfy all of our wants and needs of body and soul. And with a God like that, with promises that are given to assure and to reassure and to reassure again, the world out there still says, we got to eat. We got to have stuff. But who will feed us? Who will give us drink? Who will clothe us? And all the rest. You know, we got to put in the hours that we're putting in. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. We're not going to get ahead. We're not even going to make ends meet. And Jesus says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? And what will a man give in return for his soul? Is God's arm too weak to save? Is God's arm too short to help? He who fed the 5,000 with 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fishes? Can he not get it together enough himself to provide you with that which you need for your body and for your life, both now and forever? Who is it that has the little faith? How often doesn't the worry and anxiety over what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? Did God forget about me? Have I done something to anger God that things aren't going so well for me right now? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because your heavenly Father knows your needs and He well provides them. After sin, as Moses and Aaron found out, as the people grumbled at them, as if they did this, brought them out into the wilderness to die. After sin, that's how people are. Sinners, we are now the kind of people who want it now. Now. I need it now. The devil promises you that kind of a world where you can have everything, the devil said. You can have food, you can have drink, you can have clothing, you can have stuff, you can have all that you're looking for. All you have to do is bow down to me. You can have it all. I'll give you the whole thing. It's mine to give you, the devil will tell you. There's plenty, plenty for all of you out there. All you seek. But it's never enough. And it always ends in the same place. Death and the grave. And until then, the desire for eat and drink and stuff, it is insatiable. It captures the minds and hearts of sinners to think that if they have that, they've got God by the tail. And we can wag God being the tail. And God will give us all of this stuff. That's what the devil says. There isn't ever going to be a utopia on earth, a heaven on earth. God never promised that. That will come at the resurrection on the last day. The day that Christ, the incarnate Son of God, made possible for all through his death and resurrection, so that you might eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of God's pleasure forevermore. It's why Jesus came, the forgiveness of your sins. It's why the Holy Spirit gives you God's word and promises that he secured for you in Jesus' blood and assured to you in his resurrection. It is for you. And Jesus said to you, he is the living bread that came down from heaven, that if anyone eats this bread, that is, to believe the words and promises of God, he will live forever. And the bread that Jesus gives for the life of the world is his flesh. And that is eaten by you and me when we hear his word and believe. Jesus said to you, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And 5,000 people were coming toward Jesus, and he did not disappoint. And the world he would draw to himself from the cross, where people he would draw to them were not disappointed, for the bread of life gave his life for the life of the world for you. Because with sins forgiven through faith in Christ, there is no longer any need to relentlessly pursue stuff, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, because it will not ever satisfy. Adam discovered that from the beginning when he ate the fruit of the tree, and so did his wife. It did not bring comfort. It did not bring sustenance. It only lasted for a time before you had to eat it or get it again. And at the end, even after eating it all, he would die. It did nothing other than leave his descendants restless, worrying, troubled over their sin, and scared to death of death. But in Jesus there is life. In Jesus there is a cleansed conscience, in a heart and a soul that is at peace with God, because God's word was heard and believed. And as the prayer said, it inwardly digested, becomes a part of a person, so that it brings to pass that which God promised. Promised it in the New Testament and promised it in the Old. In the mouth of Ezekiel, the prophet, God said, I will provide for them. I will provide for them renowned plantations so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. The renowned plantations is the kingdom of God. The land is heaven. Now the world now, to the extent that God created it to provide, God by it gives us what we need. Jesus teaches us that in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. He teaches us that God certainly gives us daily bread without our prayer, even to the evil ones, to the wicked. But that God would lead us to realize this comes from His gracious hand, and that we might receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And what's meant by daily bread? Everything that has to do with the body and life, the needs of the body, such as food and drink and clothing and shoes and house and home and land and animals and money and stuff, and devout husband, devout wife, devout children, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather. Even when the weather's bad, it is providing the nourishment that the ground needs so that, as God's word said, it can bring forth those things that make for the food and drink that we need to support our bodies and lives. Daily bread. But it's not just the devil's work for this world telling you that's where it's all at. It also includes the soul, for we are body and soul together. And by the gospel word of Christ to you, you are assured that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. For you have Jesus' own word and promises. You have Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you from the cross, for you to also eat and drink, so that you might not just be nourished from the world for the things of the body, but that you might be nourished for eternity in the forgiveness of sins that Christ brings to you by His word. Hear it. Eat His word by hearing it, hearing the words of God's promises for you. All you need for your body and for your soul. God's word is all sufficient. It makes divinely sure that trusting in His promises, your faith shall rest secure. Not just eat, drink. Let's go to lunch. Hope he doesn't preach too long this morning. It is for you, that you might live and move and have your being, body and soul, in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, help us to realize that our times are in your hands, and that we are too. Forgive us this Lenten season and whenever else for our faithlessness. Perhaps get down upon our knees, Lord, and confess that we can not only make payment for our sins before God, but we can't earn our daily bread either. It is your gift to us. Heavenly Father, grant us to believe Christ's word, that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, and that we really do obtain our daily bread only through Him, our Lord Jesus, who lives and reigns with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.